I gave you a paper. I might deviate. Y'all know I have plans, and then I kind of go from the hip sometimes. So just hold on. But I want to talk to us tonight. I just was really thinking about supplies of the Spirit, how each and every one of us bring a supply of the Spirit. You know, I was listening to Cindy Black, a friend of mine that I travel with. Y'all know who Cindy is. She traveled with Dad Hagen for years and is now doing her own ministry. She lost her husband about 3 years ago. He passed away. And now she's evangelizing and doing a lot of things, and she helps with Pastor Nancy as well, the Dufresne Ministry. But I was listening to her talk, and she was just sharing with the church there, because she's moved to California. She's a part of that church. She was just sharing with the church the importance of each and every one of us as we come into our church, that we bring a supply of the Spirit, that we're not just here to warm a pew or just to receive, just to listen and receive. We're all here to receive, yes, but we're also here to give. Amen. We're also here to bring our supply of the Spirit. And one of the things that she and I have discussed, the importance of what God's doing with what we're doing right now is, yeah, we sing, we're singers, but we're vocalists, but that's not all that we do. We come and we bring a supply of the Spirit. There's impartations that have been placed in our life through the ministries that we've been under through the years. Y'all know I was raised in Lester Sumrall's church. He imparted things into me. Grew up a lot of my life under Kenneth Hagin, and just the different ones. And I don't drop names to drop names. What I'm dropping is the impartations they've placed into my life. And I put value and weight in the anointing that's in those lives that's been imparted to me. And I believe that we can carry that. And all of you have had people that have spoken into your lives and laid hands on you and impartations into your life, that when you come together, we come together as a body of believers, we're bringing those supplies of the Spirit together. Amen. We're not just here just doing our own thing and just here just, okay, what do you have to feed me tonight? It's not like that. We're coming together to bring a supply of the Spirit. And one of the things that I think is really valuable with what we do is, I come and I pray. Part of my job is to pray. When we get together in the afternoon, we have a little time to take a nap, and then we pray in the Spirit over our meeting for that night. Because I don't want to just get up and sing. That's, you know, anybody can get up and sing. There's lots of singers. But if I can come and bring a supply of the Spirit where I've come from and what I bring, and that's what I want to bring to us tonight, is the importance. Each and every one of you come here and you bring a supply of the Spirit. You're not just coming just to occupy or whatever. It's something that's valuable to God. And I know you guys, I might reiterate some things that you already know, but I think there's some real precious things for us to grab a hold of tonight. So are you with me on this? Okay, so I titled this Supplies Needed, or Bringing Our Portion to Prepare the Way. And we'll get into this, and you'll see some things I think that are really valuable. But the key scripture for this is Ephesians 4:16, and it talks about, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Each one of us have a part to bring, a part to play, a part to do, and it helps each other grow. And then the other key scripture here is Hebrews 10:25, and it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And a lot of people have their own take on that, and they say, well, God understands, he knows where I'm at. And this isn't your pastor telling you don't forsake. This is God. This is the Bible saying, do not forsake the assembling together. This isn't Pastor Steve or Pastor Kim's idea. This is the Holy Spirit inspired and written in the Word of God. So I want to talk about these two main scriptures, but I want to kind of break it down. So number one, everyone carries a supply of the Spirit. Do you believe that you carry a supply? Does everyone here believe you carry a supply? Anyone believe you don't carry a supply? You don't think you have a supply to bring? Okay, so the point is every believer has a unique Spirit-filled contribution. And a body with missing parts can't function properly. How many agree with that? So same as the church. The church, if it has missing parts, it can't function properly. So we don't come empty. We come filled. We come ready to release what God has given us. And hopefully you're getting a filling up every day of the week, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, but you're getting into that place of being in the presence of God. You're getting filled up with the Word of God. You're getting filled up with the Spirit of God by praying in the Spirit, by communication with the Word and with Him in His presence. And in that place, you get filled up. Amen. In His presence, there's fullness of joy, and His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So let's look at Ephesians 4. I'm just going to read it to you out of the Amplified, and I just want to get into some specifics about what it says. It says, and His gifts were varied. He Himself appointed and gave men to us. Some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, some preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors are shepherds of the flock, and teachers. His intention, He was intentional about what He did. I'm talking about Jesus. He intentionally was perfecting and filling the equipping of the saints, His consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body. That's our job, is to build up the body of Christ, the pastors building up the body of Christ, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. How many want to be mature in Christ? Amen. So that's the purpose in us coming together, is there's a growth, there's a maturing that takes place. And let me read this and then I'll finish my thought here. Completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. We're pursuing the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in Him. It's found in Him, not on our own. So then we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning of the cleverness of unscrupulous men, in every shifting form of trickery, in inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truth, dealing with truth, living with truth, truthfully, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And this is the verse I wanted to get to. For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knitted together by the joints and ligaments which it supplies, when each part with power adapted to its need. I know this is a lot of words. Each part adapted to its power, adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. Okay, so let me just stop there and kind of go back. So it's this verse is basically talking about Jesus gave us gifts. He gave gifts to men. And one of those is the pastor, and I want to focus a little bit on that because that's where we're at right now. We're in church, and we're sitting under pastors, right? And the importance of that is that we are learning, we're growing, we're maturing, and we're getting built up together. I had a conversation with someone this past week, and they were just saying, I don't really like Wednesdays. I it's too hard for me to get there, and gave me all the reasons why. And I said, I get where you're coming from. You know, I've had kids, I understand. I said, but I want to just tell you, it's not always about you. It's about what you bring to the corporate body. Because if you're not there, there's something that you're bringing, a supply that you're bringing, and if you're not there, then that supply is not there. Because I can't be who Miss Diana is. I cannot be who Miss Melanie is. I cannot be who Emma is. Miss Emma, I cannot be who you are. I am who God made me to be, and I'm going to be the best that I can be. But I cannot fill your shoes. I cannot be who Sandra is. You are the only you that can be you in church, in the body, right? And I thought about it like this. I'm just going to use a little visionary. How many visionaries do we have here? All right, I need a little help. Each one of us have a supply, and we throw those terms around, a supply of the Spirit. What does that mean exactly? Well, we all bring a supply, a Holy Ghost supply, praying in tongues, a belief system, but there's something else that we bring that we're good at. Every one of you here are gifted and good at some things. How many believe you're good at some things? How many believe you're not good at some things? You believe you're not good at some things? Well, no, okay. I just meant you don't believe you have anything you're good at. I should rephrase. Okay. Okay, so let me just give an example. Okay, so Sandra, come up here, please. Okay, so we got Sandra. we're going to stretch across here. So she's I'm going to give her a singer. She's the singer. Okay. Sandra. Okay. So Emma, let me give Emma this one. Emma has ideas. She's a visionary. She's a vision carrier. She carries out the plan. She's good at, if I cast a vision to her, she comes up with ideas. So she's a vision carrier, or what's another word for that? What's the word I'm looking for? Accomplishes it. You know what I'm saying? Miss Diana, she helps us clean. She probably cleans way better than I do. And I know that seems, you might laugh and go, oh, just a cleaner. No. Well, it's not even that everybody doesn't want to. Not everybody can do it right. And let me finish, and then I'm going to tell you something. Miss Grace, she's going to be Miss Joy. Miss Joyce, you got to step up and be connected. Every joint's bringing a supply. Who's my organizer? Lindsay's not here. Naomi, let's have Naomi. She'll help me out. Are you an organizer? Probably. You probably are. You look pretty. Yes. Thanks. All right. You got to be connected. Miss Wisdom. Oh, that's Miss Melanie. All right. And I'm just throwing these out there. I didn't pick these. You can go to the end of the line, please. No, I'm just kidding. So my point is, okay, so be connected. Can you connect as much as possible? All right. You guys are the troublemakers. No, I'm just kidding. So y'all, see, they're connected. There's a joint that's connected, that's bringing a supply of the Spirit. Now, what happens unjoint, like disjoint? What happens if you're disjointed? Kind of go like one sideways, one lopsided, you know. It's joint, disjointed. Just kind of, yeah, that's good. You see? It's not very unified, right? And then what if wisdom leaves? She gets offended at me, and she's left the building. Now, we don't have that supply of the Spirit. And I know other people can bring that supply. But right now, we've learned to function with wisdom. And wisdom got disjointed and got upset, and she's left the building. And so now we don't have that supply. So now we got to raise that supply back up. Right? And so what if Miss Organizer says, I don't like this anymore. I'm out of here. And she's like gone. And now I'm like, nobody's organizing anything for me. What am I going to do? A singer isn't here anymore. And I'm going to have to step in, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm juggling as many balls as I can right now in my life. So I need singers. I need organizers. I need people who will illustrate and clean and step in and be joyful. Joy is a huge deal. Every one of us need to have joy. Every one of us need to have joy while we're doing what we're doing. You can sit down now. But I think to see it actually helps us grab a hold of it. Because let me give you this illustration. So my eldest son, Hayden, we were just talking about this the other day. When he was about 4 or 5, we were at a church, and some boys were playing outside, and they were kind of tackling him. They got on top of him, and he came in, and he was just whining. He's a little bit of a drama king anyways. I don't like to say queen, but drama king. And so he complained about everything, you know, so I was like, oh, he's just being drama. He comes in, he's like, my arm. And we made him just kind of sit in Pastor Steve's office for a couple hours. And after a while, his arm started looking like cockeyed. It was like, and it was getting swollen. And we were like, something's wrong with his arm. So we took him to an emergency or a little side place, you know, and we're like, oh, you know, he'll be fine. They came out and they said, oh, well, he needs surgery. I'm like, surgery? Yes, his arm is completely disjointed, and he had to have pins put in his arm, and all these issues were happening, and praise God, it healed within 6 weeks. But my point is, it was disjointed, and he couldn't use it anymore. And then they put the pins in, but after a while, if you have him show you his arms now, you can tell which one it is, because it didn't heal right. His arm is still disjointed. It's out of whack. I kept the pins. They're in his baby book. But my point is, though, is it was disjointed, and it doesn't when he lifts, y'all know he likes to lift weights. That's kind of his thing now. When he lifts weights, he can't use that arm the way he can use the other arm because it's been disjointed. It's been out of whack. And so it's not as useful as the one that is in unity with the rest of his body. So the important thing for us to remember is that there is a place for us. There is a supply that we bring. And it's important that we find our place and we utilize and be allow the Lord to utilize us in that place. You got it? Okay. Moving onward. Oh, let me just say this too. I was reminded of this, so I think I'm supposed to tell you this. So we've been in ministry since my daughter was, well, before that, but so it's been like 35 years. We were worship pastors first. After that church, we went to another spot, and just, you know, sometimes ministry takes you different spots and you're in transition different ways. And we went to another place, and we were kind of in transition, and we went from worship pastoring on staff somewhere to a church where we were the cleaning people. Now, let me just tell you, in your mind, you're going, wait a minute, I was worship pastoring, and now I'm the cleaning person. And we weren't getting paid for that. We were just doing it. But then the guy decided he wanted us to help him with worship. So we're helping with worship, and then he decides he's going to pay us to clean, but not to do the worship. Yeah. So my brain is messing with me. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm a worship pastor, but I'm a cleaning person, which I'm okay with. But you see what I'm saying? In the natural, your mind can go, wait a minute, I'm a worship pastor. I'm not a cleaning person. And you're paying me to clean, but not to worship lead. You see what I mean? So then we're there for a little while, 9 months or so. And then we go on to another church, and we're there for about 8 years and doing worship leading in a very large church, multiple services, very busy, 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 busy. And then all of a sudden, things change and we're not there anymore. And then we move here and we're starting all over again. Let me just tell you, your flesh is going to scream. I have done all these years, I have put my time in to do these things. And now God's put me here again. You see what? I'm being really transparent with y'all. You see what I'm saying? Your calling has nothing to do with climbing the ladder. Your calling is where God puts you. If he puts me cleaning, I'm going to be happy cleaning. If he puts me singing, I'm going to be happy singing. If he puts me on the back row somewhere supporting somebody, I'm going to be happy doing that. It's really about the call. It's not about where you are, right? Now, I do believe he promotes faithfulness. I do believe he sees our hearts. But there is a supply of the Spirit that I bring no matter what I'm doing. It's in cleaning. It's in organizing. It's in praying. I can pray my whole life, and nobody ever know what I'm doing, and I'm being faithful at it, and I'm bringing a supply of the Spirit. And that's important. It's important that my heart is right and I'm doing what God's called me to do and I'm bringing that supply, and that's all that matters. Amen? Now, I do believe he'll take you places if you're faithful at what you're doing. Praise God. All right, so the key here is that every joint brings a supply. Every believer is a joint in the body of Christ. You guys believe that, right? The supply is a spiritual gift. It's strength, it's prayer, it's wisdom, it's encouragement, whatever it is you bring. If a joint doesn't supply, the body becomes disjointed, weak, or stuck. We can become weak. This whole body, this church can become weak, disjointed, and stuck if we're coming in here and we're not bringing a supply. We can come in here and just kind of not be expecting anything. You know, one of the things I love about traveling and doing ministry the way I do is I can sense an expectancy in the room. People are coming in. They're excited. They know something's going to happen. And that's bringing a supply of the Spirit. When we come in and we're expecting something, we know God's going to do something. That's a supply we can bring, an expectant supply. Amen? Amen? Come on, everybody. Every part does its share. Church growth isn't just from leadership or programs. It happens when the whole body contributes. Your participation fuels growth. Your absence or withholding stunts growth. It's important that we're here. It's important that we're present, because every time we're not, it stunts the growth. It pulls back on the growth. Your growth as well as others. Your growth, your personal growth, but as well as the body, the corporate body. So every time there's a pulling back, the growth is the, what am I trying to say? The momentum is pulled back. the cause of growth is not just God's sovereign move. A lot of people, oh, just whenever God's going to move. You know, it's, no. He moves, we move, he moves when we move. He's done everything he's going to do. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's provided everything we need. He's given us the name. He's given us the blood. He's given us the word. He's given us power. He's given us authority. And it's up to us to come in and take the reins and say, okay, I'm ready to expect something from God today. I'm ready. I've come prayed up. I'm ready to receive. Amen. I'm not coming in with offense. I'm not coming in looking around to see what's wrong. I'm in here. I'm saying, God, let's. I'm ready to receive from your spirit. I'm expecting something good. I want y'all to imagine this church full. Can you imagine this church full? Use your imagination for something positive. Amen. Can you just for one moment close your eyes and imagine you're on the beach? Can you imagine you're on the beach? Can you hear the waves? Can you smell the water? Can you smell the beach? Can you feel the sand between your toes? You can, right? You can imagine it. And it's peaceful. You can hear those birds chirping. Now, let's go to the Colorado Mountains. We're in the mountains. There's a cool breeze. You can hear whatever it is, bears or whatever you want to hear. In the mountains, I don't know if you want to hear a bear. You can feel that nice breeze, and it just smells like the mountains of pine. It's just wonderful, right? Now, I want you to imagine God moving in this house. I want you to imagine the Holy Ghost having his way, the power of God working in this place. People shouting out, I'm healed. I've been touched by the blood of Jesus. I can walk now. My knee is well. My back is well. My throat is feeling better. I couldn't bend over before, and now I can. Can you imagine that? That's what I'm looking to see. Miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm telling you right now, we're moving into the miraculous. And when we've said this all our lives, but I'm telling you, if you can imagine it, God can do it. I have a friend that I travel with Dad Hagen. He is very much a strong evangelist and very much into signs and wonders. He just prayed for a man on the airplane the other day, and his hand grew out. He didn't have a hand, and he prayed, and his hand developed right in front of his eyes. That's supernatural. You might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you won't see it if you don't believe it. But I believe all things are possible. And the word says all things are possible to him who believes. And I'm ready to see the supernatural. Amen. I'm ready to experience signs, wonders, and miracles. But it's only going to happen if we're coming in here bringing our supply. If we just have a couple people bringing in a supply, it's not enough. We've got to be unified. You know the story in Acts. They went up. They were told that they would be filled. They go up into the house of the day of Pentecost. There were 500 that went in there originally, and only 120 waited it out. What happened to the 380? They missed God because they said, I'm not waiting on this anymore. And the house was filled. There was fire on the heads, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Signs, wonders, and miracles can happen if we're bringing in our supply, willing to wait it out, willing to say, nothing else is important as what I'm here for. Nothing else is as important as seeing the move of the Spirit. Nothing else is important as being a part of the body of Christ and experiencing that corporate anointing together. Nothing else is as important as this. Amen? Y'all are just staring at me. It's true. All right. A prayer warrior's intercession may open spiritual breakthroughs. Others benefit. A word of encouragement can keep someone from quitting ministry. These are just examples of things that you could be used in. A small act of faithfulness, like showing up on time or setting the room with expectancy, may set the tone for God to move. But it's not going to happen until we bring that supply. And I'm not coming against it, but I know you guys are expecting. I'm preaching to the choir here because all of y'all are on the same page as we are. These are the things that we're believing God for, and we're all on board. We're ready to see the miraculous. Amen? Amen. All right, so we are not meant to function alone, right? God designed us to function in community, not in isolation. And that's the scripture in Hebrews 10:25. And I gave you I don't know if I put it on the page, but I'll read it to you. This is the Passion Translation. I just like how it says. It says, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit. It becomes a habit. When you stop coming, I've talked to people. It's easy to stop coming. You come, not come one time, then you not come another time. And after a while, you're not coming. It's a habit. And that's why the word is there. And it's in the other translations, not just the Passion, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently. This isn't Pastor Kim speaking. This is the word speaking. Even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning, the coming of Christ. So you are essential, not optional. You are essential, not optional. Remember during COVID, I love the term first responders. Remember that? How they were the only ones that were allowed to do anything because they were essential. They were the first responders. And I've thought about this so often in church, how important it is for us to be responders, first responders, that we respond to the presence of God, that if we're receiving something from the word, we're saying, yes, amen, that's for me. I'll have that. Yes, that's me. I'm going to have that. Do you know that your word of affirmation by saying yes, amen, amen, it means so be it. So when Pastor Steve's declaring something and we say amen, that's when he's saying, what's that term he always says? Is that right? He's looking for you to say amen. Is that right? Is that right? He's saying, he's asking, amen. I want to hear some amen, because that means so be it in my life. When there's a word that's spoken over somebody and it rings in my spirit, I say, yes, amen, I'll have some of that. Amen, that's not just for that person, that's for me too. I'll have some of that, I'll take some of that, amen? So you're essential, not optional. Can you say that? Point to yourself and say, I'm essential, not optional. I'm important. It's like coals in a fire. We burn hotter together than apart. How many have ever, if you've built a fire, you know that you stir those embers together and it causes it to light up. It gets hot. Amen? All right. The atmosphere changes when we come together. A gathered, unified people shift the spiritual climate. How many have ever been to a concert? We went to Brandon Lake recently, and man, the atmosphere in that room is just lit. It's just lit. There's so much expectation because people know what's coming. They're like, I'm so excited. I love this song. We had Amanda went with me. We had an extra ticket, and she was the only one that could go. She was like, I'll go. And so she went with us, and not that you were the only one, but we chose you to go. But anyway, she had already gone recently, and anyways, she got to go, and she's like, this is the best song, I love this song, and I'm like, I don't know what's coming up, and so her excitement about the song excited me. I was like, yeah, this is an exciting time, and that momentum in that room, you could just feel it. There was like a sense of urgency, and he ministered. I'm just going to tell you, if you ever get a chance to go see him, he's amazing. He, by the power of the Holy Ghost, is amazing, because God uses him, amen. It's so good. But I'm just, that energy in the room, that expectancy. You know, when we come in, we're carriers of the glory and of the grace of God, and we should bring in a change in the atmosphere. If there's strife in the room, if there's anger in the room, if there's unrest in the room, just by us entering in, we should bring a change in the atmosphere, because we are carriers of his peace, of his joy. And so we bring that change. We don't respond. We're first responders to him, not to the mess. Right? We don't respond to the mess. We don't respond to strife. We respond to the power of God. We bring it with us, and then we respond in a way that'll just bring peace in the room. Amen? And we have to do that in our own lives, in our own families, in our own marriages, and with our kids. I'm telling you what, the hardest thing I think I ever did was raise teenage kids. And, you know, you guys know we went through a lot with our eldest, and I'm just not being a responder at everything they said and did was the biggest lesson for me, right? It's, you know, learning how to, you don't react out of the flesh, you respond by the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost will show you what to say and how to say it. And it diffuses that strife. It diffuses because it's a spirit that tries to get in your house. It's a spirit of division that'll try to come in and cause issues between you and your kids, and then in with you and your husband, or your spouse, and it's a problem. And we can diffuse those things if we recognize, as soon as that word is spoken, we recognize things. We can say, nope, I'm not entering into that. I'm going to stay. Because what are we led by? The word says that we're led by what? Peace and joy. Amen? So if someone's causing anxiety or frustration or fear or whatever, and they're being led by that spirit, and then you respond to whatever they're being, then you're going to be led by that same spirit that they're being led by. And I refuse to be led by anything other than the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost. Amen? By peace and by joy. Okay, so the atmosphere changes when we come together. A gathered, unified people shift the spiritual climate. And I referred to this earlier, Acts 2, 1 through 4. They were all together in one accord. That means they were united in heart and they were not united in mind. Amen? It's like a tuning fork, the effects of the vibration of another. The unity brings a resonance in the spirit. I love that. There's like a tone that takes place. So be intentional about your spiritual posture when we're gathering. Be aware of your spiritual posture. Be aware, and how do we do that? We pray in the Holy Ghost. Every time I come down this road, I'm praying in the Spirit for this service. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for Pastor Steve, praying for our worship team, praying for those in the back. I'm praying for the children's, because we want there to be such an atmosphere in this place. When people walk in, they sense the presence of God, and just the presence is enough to bring change in their life. Amen? And then when they see somebody that, like Miss Diana and Miss Melanie, greeting them at the door, there's just this attitude of gratitude that just overwhelms people. There's a shift in their gaze. There's a shift at what they're looking at. All of a sudden, they're sensing an overwhelming feeling of joy and peace because His presence is here. Amen? His presence is here. And we're bringing that because we're bringing the supply. You're bringing that supply. Amen? So expectation sets the stage for miracles. If we want to see miracles, we need to be expecting miracles. Expectation is a magnet for divine activity. It's a conduit or a setup for the supernatural. So we need to be expecting those things. And I love the story in Mark 5:25 about the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to read it just a little bit here because there's some parts here I want you to get. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. And she heard the reports concerning Jesus. She came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. Now, I stop there because, you know, it says there were throngs of people, and people were touching him all over the place. But she came up behind him and touched him, and she says, the word says, for she kept saying. She didn't say it once. She didn't say it twice. She kept saying, it kept coming out of her mouth, if I can only touch his garment, I will be restored to health. If I can just touch him, I will be restored. If I could just touch him, I'll be whole. If I could just touch him. Have you ever had a kid repeat themselves over and you about just want to say, shut up, be quiet, I've heard you. But this is what this woman did. If I could just touch him, I could be healed. If I could just touch his garment. And of course, everyone was touching him. And we know what the scripture says, that she immediately, her flow of blood dried up at the source. And suddenly she felt in her body she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that power proceeding from him that had gone forth, he knew there was a force that had come out of him, a power that had come out of him. And he was like, wait a minute, turned around. Who is that that touched me? Immediately in the crowd, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying, what? There's a crowd all around you, Master. They're all pressing around you from all sides. Well, how can you say who touched me? And still he kept looking around to see who it was that had done it. And the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him. She thought she was in trouble, but she fell down before him and told the truth and said to her daughter, her faith made her whole. Your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go, how did he tell her to go? Go into peace. In Christ, there's peace. There's a place of peace in him. In Christ is healing. In Christ is joy. In Christ is sustenance. In Christ is everything we need. In Christ, in him. We're supposed to live, move, and have our being in him. So in that place in him, there's healing. In that place in him, there's deliverance. In that place in him, we can have freedom from whatever it is that's trying to hold us back. And he told her, he said, go in peace and be continually healed and freed from your disease. Because he didn't want it coming back. He told her how to do it. Stay in peace. Stay in that place of peace. How many have ever been prayed for and you feel like you got the answer and you walked away and it came back? The enemy comes to steal it. That's because you start thinking about it and you start lining your mouth up with, well, I'm just not feeling good. I thought I got it, but it's not. And you reverse what you received. You got to stay in that place of peace because the enemy will be right at your ear door saying, you thought you had it, but you didn't have it. And he'll lie to you and tell you, don't believe it. But in him, we live, move, and we have our being. And in that place, there's healing for us. There's deliverance for us. Amen? And we're not saying, I'm just trying to get it. No, we got it today. Now faith is a substance. Faith is now. It's now. It's not someday. It's now. We have it now. I love what Pastor Nancy said. She said, it's in a realm. It's in the realm of the spirit. And all it's doing is shifting from one realm to the other. It's shifting from the realm of the spirit to the realm of the natural. You just got to give it a little time. Isn't that good? And so a lot of times we just can't wrap our minds around it, so we're trying to define it by saying, well, I thought I had it. No, you had it, and you have it. You just got to realize that it's shifting realms, and you have it now. Amen? So faith brings the supply. Expectation draws the response. Be a first responder. Be a first responder. So when faith is present in the room, we come together, we start worshiping God. What does the word say that he inhabits the praises of his people? He lives there. He abides there. So when he comes in, faith is present. Faith is present to heal. And it's waiting for our response. It's waiting for us to respond. Faith is present in the room. It's waiting for us to respond. Amen? We don't live just, when we live by faith, we're doers of the word. We're not just hearers only. We do something about it. So when faith is residing in the room, we got to respond to it. We got to say something. We got to do something. We got to respond to it. So we activate what's in the room. It can be present. It's kind of like this. Miss Melanie can open her wallet and have five $500 bills in her wallet, and I can have knowledge of that. I know she has, well, let's pretend, she has five $500 bills in her wallet. I have knowledge of it, but it doesn't mean that I'm partaking of it. It means I know it. I have to actually do something to partake of it. I can have all kinds of knowledge of the word. I can know all about healing. I can know all about provision. I can know all about, but it doesn't mean I'm partaking of it unless I go do something about it. You get what I'm saying? You got to act on it. You got to do something about it to be able to receive from it. Amen? And then you got to keep your mouth lined up with the word. So I love this. This is about John the Baptist. He was the forerunner. Y'all know the story. The forerunner's supply. A forerunner's supply. He didn't perform miracles. Y'all know that, right? There's a scripture that actually talks about it. He didn't perform miracles, but his supply prepared hearts for Jesus. The scripture in Luke 1:17, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was his job. So what did John do? He preached repentance. He baptized people, including Jesus. But in John 10:41, it says, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. He prepared the way for the Messiah. He operated in boldness, in truth, and prophetic authority. So John's impact wasn't in miraculous signs and wonders, but in the power of his message. What was his message? He was preparing the way of the Messiah. And in his obedience, that was his calling. His supply was preparation, not demonstration. So if you are thinking, I'm just cleaning the church house, I'm just watching the babies, it could be that your calling is in preparation and helping people. Maybe not in the demonstration of certain things, and maybe it's a season. It may not be that it's not forever, but you might just be in a season of preparation. It might be a season for helping somebody else prepare. Everybody that's in this church, I can't do everything in this church. I need every supply that comes in this church to enable and equip so we can do what God's called us to do. If I have to come in here and clean the toilets, if I have to come in here and make plans for our next event, if I have to come in here and wash the babies, if I have to, and I'm pulling right now with the singing. I'd love to get more people. If I have to come in and do all those things, I can't do everything that I need to do to fulfill what God's called me to do in the area of demonstration, right? And there's seasons for demonstrate. There's seasons for preparation. There's seasons for demonstration. And so it's important that your supply comes in and brings in the preparation to enable the demonstration of the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So preparing the way is as powerful as being the way. What John did, what John the Baptist did, was so powerful. And I love. I heard somebody say that John's job was not done when his head was cut off. He went into heaven preparing the way, saying the Messiah is coming. In 3 days, he's going to rise, and he's not done. Amen? So your obedience, your voice, your presence might be the preparation someone needs for their breakthrough. We don't know what coming in here and just doing what we do to be obedient and do it with a happy heart. Let me just tell you, everything that we're doing, if we're not doing it unto him, is just, it'll burn in the fire. It's just waste. We've got to do it unto him. We got to do it with joy and with happiness. Amen? And we do it willingly. It's the willing and obedient that eat the good of the land, right? Amen? I'm looking for some amens. Your supply can be practical or prophetic. God uses both spiritual and simple acts to build his house. The example is simple smiling, hugging somebody, a word of knowledge, a song, a scripture, a prayer. So don't underestimate small acts of faithfulness. They carry big impact. How many have ever been affected by people greeting at the front? I have. My daughter's church, I went in there on Sunday, and I loved this. I thought maybe we could use this some. But they came in, everybody was so pleasant, and they gave high fives as people walked in the door. I was like, well, that's kind of fun. Let's high five people. You know, it just breaks the ice a little bit. It breaks, you know, people need to know we're just normal. We're just here. We're loving you. We're here to receive you. We're here to, you're laughing, Kat. What are you thinking? Are we normal? I don't know if we're normal. I think we're normal. We're not normal, right? We're not. Well, but we're peculiar people. But I'm just saying we're not weirdos. We're not weirdos. We're normal in the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So, okay, so, and you guys know I'm running out of time. So, let's see what time it is. So you guys know the story in 2 Chronicles 5:13, where they were worshiping and the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud and they couldn't even stand. They fell because the presence of God had filled the room. One brick doesn't make a temple. Many joined together does. And so when we're all lifting up praises to him, the whole house is filled with his glory. And that's when we experience his presence. And it brings so much freedom for each and every one of us. It's such a beautiful place to be in. Amen? So will you bring your supply and help build an atmosphere for God to dwell in? I'm going to ask you, will you bring your supply? Will your supply in the house be more important and be more of a priority than anything else in this world? Will your supply be more important than anything else? Because it's important that we're here, we're meeting, we're bringing on a regular basis, and we're bringing that supply to each other. And you know what? There's habits that we form. And I wanted to read this out of Pastor Nancy's book. I was reading this, a couple little good quotes. It talks about that scripture in Hebrews about not forsaking. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as some believers, as is the habit of some. God created you with the ability to form habits in your life so that you could form right habits that would help shape your everyday life. Right spiritual habits, right mental habits, and right physical habits are imperative to develop in the life of the believer. This is called balance, the habits that we form, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus would frequently go to the Mount of Olives to pray. It was his favorite location. And he came out and went as he was, I don't know what that word is. It doesn't make sense. To the Mount of Olives. In other words, it was his habit. And he came out and went as was his habit. Notice that Jesus created the habit of going alongside, outside to pray. It was a part of his spiritual habit. It's something he developed spiritually. How many of you have habits that you do every day? Something that you normally do? Some natural things we do with our eating. I know some people are very rigid at certain things they take. You know, vitamins and different things to help their physical body. And there's spiritual things that we do to develop ourselves spiritually. But whether you realize it or not, the habits you've developed in your life are either bringing you into the place of hearing and seeing your Father or drawing you away from hearing and seeing your Father. Whether you realize it or not, every man lives by his habits, good or bad. Your habits shape your life, and your habits cause you to walk with or walk away from God. Jesus had the habit of being faithful to church. There's a scripture that talks about he went into the synagogue as was his habit. And so those with this bad habit of neglecting church will try to justify it many times by saying this, well, I'm just too tired or blah, 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 blah. But God gives us the command. He gives it to us to protect us, not to restrict us. He does it to protect us. And, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, I can do it on my own. Or I'll just, one particular person said to me, I can do my own Bible study. I can get my own stuff. I know we all can do that at home. But it's important that you're, first of all, you're careful at what you're listening to, because not every person you're listening to online is sound. And then God's called you to be, he's called you to be a part of a church. He's given you a pastor. He's called you to be under a pastor. I just read it to you in Ephesians where it talks about he gave us gifts. And if you're not lined up with the pastor's heart and you're not being steady with what he's trying to give you, he's feeding us. And so we get out of order with that, then we can become, how many have ever met somebody that's not been very connected to a church? And they can become kind of, I don't like to use the word fruity, but kind of get off on all kinds of ideas and things, right? It gets a little weird because there's a spiritual principle. They've not submitted, I hate to use that word, but it's a submission to authority. And God created it. It's his plan. It's his lineup. It's not ours. I didn't do it. He did it. And he's called us to submit ourselves to a pastor. And when we submit ourselves to that, then there's a place where it's like your kids, when they've submitted themselves to you as their parent, there's blessings. There's a place of abundance. There's a place where they've got your heart no matter what. Amen? And it's an open door for great things for God to bring into their life. I one of my kids, I was like, man, if you just submit to what God's got for your life, you know, it could be so good. But when you're bucking against it, it's pride, because you think you know more. You think you've got it. You know you've got a bigger, better idea. And this is God's idea. But when we bring our supply, it's important. What I'm trying to get you to see is the other side of it is it's not just about the submission. It's the part that's bringing your supply and what God wants to do in you, because he's got so much for you, right? And so when we do that, when we submit to what he wants, the order that he has, then he's going to bring blessings to our life. And it's not a hard thing. It's not something we have to do in and of our own strength. He does it. I want to be under his blessing, not trying to do things in and of my own strength. Amen? And so I want to just encourage us that you have a supply to bring. We have a supply of the Spirit to bring. Amen? And it is needed in this church. It is very needed. And God's called it together. He's called us together to work together till Jesus comes back. Amen? Amen.